Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price, the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast, and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. Get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Today on the Patriots Report, we take one last look ahead to the draft and what New England should do at number three overall. Plus, we look at what draft weekend is like for undrafted players, answer some listener mail, and examine what might be next for Bill Belichick. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, it's draft week. It's finally here. After 3 months of hypotheticals and mock drafts and all of the nonsense, we finally get it Thursday. We're recording this Wednesday morning. So, you know, we're going to get the draft Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The rubber's going to hit the road. We're going to find out what's what for the Patriots specifically. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on what would make for a successful draft. If you're New England, and I can use two measurables for it. I'll start with this. I'll use two measurables. First of all, if you get your quarterback.
Yeah.
It starts with that. And I'm not talking about like waiting to the fourth round for Sam Hartman or something. You know, I'm talking about one of the top five guys. And then the second one is if you get three starters, very smart guy who told me when I started covering the NFL and in the draft, if you get three starters out of any draft, that's the mark of a good draft. So if my measuring stick is both of those things for the Patriots, what do you think? What would constitute a successful draft for the Patriots in your eyes?
I think that, I mean, like you said, it's like we got to get the quarterback. I think everyone's the highly anticipated first draft pick for New England is, okay, we're selecting one of three quarterbacks, or, you know, we could say one of four, you know, if that could happen. You know, after that, I have my own feelings about the draft. It's just there's just so much unknown about how these kids are going to adapt and how they're going to be and how they're going to, you know, be in an NFL locker room on an NFL field playing with a bunch of NFL players. And, you know, I could just tell right away who's going to be good, who's going to not going to be good just from first couple practices. And you just, you know, this guy's got it. He's tenacious, aggressive, but also is coachable, can do the thing, doesn't think he's got it all figured out. Would I love to come through this draft and have a bunch of starters that we can put on the field right away? Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want that? It's just, you just never know. I think that we got to be able to, let's attack the positions that we know that we probably need some help in. Let's try to create some depth in some places that we struggled in last year. Let's keep our eyes on the undrafted, you know, the free agent stuff, because that's always a game that I'm more interested in just because there's so many undrafted guys. We have a list. You know, I know they have their big board of hundreds of players, but like, dude, these guys know who they're drafting, right? It's at every single round, they probably have a few different scenarios built up and like, hey, like we're probably gonna get this guy here. If he's not here, then it's like X, Y, or Z. But it's like once the draft is over and now it's like, okay, cool. Here's this pool of 1,000 players that are, you know, undrafted. All right. Who's done the most research? Who's done the most scouting? And where's that diamond in the rough guy that probably could have been maybe a high round draft pick and a potential starter? How do we get him on the team? How do we create a lot more depth at some of these positions that we needed? Like, okay, cool. Maybe we go get a receiver early on. But dude, I'm telling you right now, there's some undrafted guys that are going to go undrafted this weekend that are some probably damn good football players at the skill position because they're out there. Mm-hmm. Where's that Division III interior defensive lineman that was just an absolute animal, you know, on the field that's just unstoppable and, you know, whatever. He ended up at D3 for God knows whatever reason, but he's going to be a hell of a football player in the NFL. So I think a successful draft is, A, I want to see us get a quarterback. I want to see us invest into one of these kids. And then B, I want to see some talented guys get picked, you know, that can help us in multiple different ways throughout the season, right? I'm not going to say, hey, they need to be a starter day one, but I would love for every single kid that we draft is going to contribute at some phase of the game throughout the season and be able to be put on the field and earn that. They haven't earned anything yet. They get drafted. Great. Congratulations. That is a huge accomplishment. I'm not taking that away from any kid that gets drafted this weekend, because this is what you dream of, right? As a young football player, it's getting drafted to the NFL. I mean, that is something that no one can ever take away from you. But after the fact, once you get inside the facility, you're just a rookie with a bunch of guys that have been playing the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if you think that you earned something, like, you are so dead wrong. Like, you are going to be treated like a rookie. Like, yeah, sure, my first round draft pick, maybe we'll hold your hand through a couple of different things, but everyone else, man, like, earn that. You got to earn it. And I approached it that way. And I was a very welcoming veteran. I loved helping young guys. I love doing that because I thought I got a lot out of that, because you could teach a kid how to be a pro, because there's so much that goes into it. It's not just show up and play football. You know, it's not just walk on the field without knowing how to get there, how to warm up, how to go through your process. So there's so much, man. I just, you know, I wanted us to have a successful draft and just, you know, get a bunch of talented guys that are, you know, kind of buy into what we're trying to build here, buy into Gerard, buy into the team, forget about last year. It doesn't matter last year. We are a very successful organization. We're going to continue to have a successful organization. It's just, we're in a rebuild, right? We're in a process of, let's figure out what type of team we're going to be. And I know that Gerard, you know, all those guys, the scouts, everything, like, I think they kind of, I would imagine that's their job, right? Let's bring in those guys that are all about that.
You had a really unique path to the National Football League, a really non-traditional path to the National Football League. When it came to draft weekend, what was that like for you? Was there any level of anxiety, anticipation? And you talked about the undrafted guys. I see your face here. You're kind of like, nothing at all. For the undrafted guys, does the phone start ringing immediately after the draft? And does it ever stop, basically? Because you have a bunch of teams then calling you and saying, look, we want to bring you in. We're going to pay you X amount of dollars. What's that like? And what's that for an undrafted free agent sifting through all those offers? What's that process like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was pretty unique. I didn't watch the draft, didn't pay any attention to it because I didn't think I was going to get drafted. You know, I was invested in it, right? Yeah, I've been training. I've, you know, obviously had a goal of getting to the NFL. So yes, did I look at who was getting drafted and what was going on and what the process was like? Sure. But did I think that my phone was going to ring on draft, like on that Friday, Saturday, Sunday? No, my phone did ring on Sunday, and it was the 7th round. And I was driving back from a lacrosse game, watching who is my now wife. I was watching her play in Princeton, New Jersey. And this is the time for all of you young kids out there where I had Google Maps printed out on a page because I didn't have an iPhone to figure out how to tell me where to go. So phone rings, San Francisco number. Obviously, my agent's like, hey, random number calls you. You have to answer. You just don't, you never know. So obviously I pick it up. Hey, this is, who's the special teams coach? Oh my goodness. Whatever. It was the special teams coach. And I was just like, what is going on? And so I pulled over to the side road. She was following me in the car. She's like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, dude, San Francisco just called me. We're in the middle of New Jersey. I have no idea how I'm going to get home, like where I'm going. So I get lost in the process. We're thinking about taking the seventh round. I'm like, okay. Yeah. You know, like I didn't have any expectation of that, man. It was like, yeah, don't be surprised. Like if you don't, like, don't be upset. I'm like, bro, like I'm just excited to be on the phone with you. And, long story short, they didn't end up taking me. And then the next day, they probably, my phone rang again. I only had San Francisco. So San Francisco, boom. They called, hey, what's the nearest airport? Cool. JFK, LaGuardia, Newark. Wonderful. Here's your flight information. Like, be on a plane the next morning out to San Fran. That's how, I mean, it happens fast. Mm-hmm. I think for the kids that have those multiple different offers that have all these things, I would imagine that their agents are doing the research that know that, like, you got to pick the best situation for yourself. I don't think that it's as an undrafted free agent, the money is not going to change your life. Like, sure, you can get a couple extra dollars here or there if you go to a different team, but it's not going to, in the grand scheme of things, this is not life-changing money. So you got to think about you, you know, I mean, you have this unique chance to actually pick where you want to go if you have multiple offers, as opposed to a guy that's getting drafted. Like, hey, we're drafting you. All right, great. Maybe it's not the team you wanted to go to, but it is what it is. So I think you got to be able to, the younger kids, do your homework, man. I mean, where's the roster look like? What did they just do? Did they just draft three receivers and maybe there's really no opportunity for you? Or, you know, I mean, there's so many different factors. So, but I think the biggest one is, hey, what sort of opportunity are you going to get in rookie mini camp, in training camp, and then, you know, longer later on down the line in the season, you know, what are my chances of actually making this roster? A lot of it is, hey, betting on yourself, right? I mean, there's a lot of belief. You got to be a ton of confidence in just yourself. And then the other part of it is, like, you want a legit opportunity. You want a chance. You want a chance to compete. And yes, do you earn that chance? 100%. But also, if you have three guys or four guys and they have another six that have already been on the roster, you ain't getting chances. You know, you're going to get a few reps here or there in training camp. You're going to get a few quarters in preseason games, and that's it. You know, so you want to be able to put yourself in the best position to showcase your talents. So that would be my suggestion. It happens fast, man. These guys also know who they want to go after and what positions they want to go after. And you're probably on a board just like all of their draft picks. And it's like, hey, once we get here, let's just go down the list and see, like, what are our priorities now? Right. And they probably have, every single team has a process that they go through and who they're really going to target. But it's, as an undrafted guy, man, it's still exciting, man. I mean, when I got a call from San Francisco, I was sitting in my buddy's basement and they offered me a contract, and it's just, I know it's not, you're not getting drafted, right? You're not going up and shaking Mr. Goodell's hand and, you know, the putting on the hat and everything. And I get that, but, like, dude, that is such an accomplishment. Like, there is a team in the NFL that wants to make an investment, small, big, whatever in between, in you as a football player. They believe that you are a good football player. So don't take that for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a huge accomplishment. Like, yes, is it a mountain to climb for you to get to earning a roster spot? 100%. But we're in this game and we do this for a living for a reason. You love to compete, you love football, and that should just continue to carry on regardless of what the dollar sign is attached to your name when you're on a roster.
We also, by the way, the MapQuest reference there.
MapQuest,
the
yeah,
oldest
MapQuest
reference
there
that we've had on this podcast so far. help me with the timeline here. You went out there and basically and tried out, and then came back, and they're like, "We want to sign you." What was that process?
I talked to San Francisco after my pro day. Never heard from him, or I maybe had a little bit of communication here and there, and never heard from him again. You know, I had a few different, you know, did the local days. I had a few private workouts, but San Francisco never heard from again. Mm-hmm. And the special teams coach called me on Sunday. It was the seventh round, and he's like, "Hey, we're considering drafting you." And you know, the sarcastic side of me was just like, "Do you have the right phone number?" It's like, do you realize that I played like a half a year of football? Like, and he's like, you know, so they obviously believed me. To be honest with you, if I didn't get hurt in San Francisco during training camp, I think that I would have made that at least the practice squad on that team, because it was a good place. But you know, listen, that my road, my path did not take me there, and it was my first dose of reality, but also was something that I needed to see. I needed to see myself on the field with NFL football players, and immediately, within seconds of competing with these guys, understand that I belonged out there. And that was a huge point in my career, understanding, because like there was a lot more bumps along the road before I got to where I needed to get to, but understanding and having that feeling kind of ingrained in my brain was super helpful.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I'm going to ask you to play the role of Elliot Wolf here, and I'm going to give you four different draft scenarios for the Patriots at number three, and you tell me what you would do. Scenario number one, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are off the board at one and two, and you have number three, and no one is calling for the pick in terms of a trade. What do you end up doing?
That's tough. Yep. I mean, but listen, we've had conversations with the rest of those guys. How much do we like Drake? Right. Mm-hmm. How much do we like, you know, this whole JJ McCarthy thing is, I think it's just, he's run a really good campaign right now. And I think that he's a good quarterback. I'm not saying that. I think he rose up this board like so fast. Mm-hmm. And he's had a lot of people say tremendous things about him. You know, do we take Drake? I mean, I think you have to take the next quarterback that you said, hey, there had to have been a conversation that there's a few guys and you have to be okay with one of three of these guys. And who is the best fit for? Is it Michael Penix Jr.? Does he fit the best for what you're trying to do? What does Van Pelt want to do? What's his vision for his quarterback and what he wants him to do? Did Drake fit your system better? Does he fit the mold better for you to be in the, you know, in New England and in that offense with Van Pelt? You know, like, what was, I think you have to, if you're Elliot, I'd be like, listen, I'm turning to Alex and I'm saying, hey, like, who did you feel best about?
Yeah.
Right. Who did you had, you sat with him. We asked him personal questions. We asked him, what type of person, you know, like how does he see himself in a locker room and this, that, whatever. It's like, dude, you sat there probably in a film room with him. You know, you could tell, you've been around it. You know, who's going to be a good quarterback. I know these guys know this. I know this. Who did you feel most comfortable sitting there watching film with, able to make decisions quickly and respond to all that stuff? So, I mean, listen, I'm turning to Alex, I'm turning to Gerard. If the two of them say, hey, I'm good with it, and this would be the guy that we want, you know, if it wasn't Jaden, right? I'm going with that guy. So is it Drake? Is it Penix? You know, I would say it's probably one of those two.
The second scenario is we flip it and Drake May is taken. at number two, and you have Jaden Daniels at you have Jaden Daniels available, and there are no other
Jaden
trade offers. You're Jayden racing Jayden. To the podium with that yep. card, saying Jaden Daniels. You have yeah. you have no hesitation yeah. on that.
I don't see a path for someone to come and offer a trade that's going to help this football team. We need to address the quarterback. Gerard and Elliot might be sitting in the room saying, hey, we're okay with going into the season with Jacoby. That's their decision, right? And they're going to have to live with that. And I, by no means am I saying Jacoby Brissett is a bad quarterback, because I believe in him. I think he's a good player. He's lasted in this league. He's grown in this league, and he's developed into someone that, sure, can he go out there and win some football games for you? 100%. But is he an investment? Is he the future? Is he what you wanted 5 years from now? No, I don't think so. I think that he's going to be gone next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the quarterback is someone, if someone comes to a trade, I mean, it's got to be this outrageous, you know, can't turn down trade.
That's the next scenario I wanted to ask you about, the idea of Minnesota. And I'll use Minnesota as an example. They have 11 and 23.
Yeah.
If they come to you with an offer of number 11, number 23, and a player not named Justin Jefferson.
No, hang up the phone. Goodbye.
Hang up the phone. Okay. So you would not make that trade. You would stick at three if they offered three.
What are we going to get out of it? What's the benefit? Then are we guaranteed that Penix is going to be on the board at 11? Right. Then maybe, but why are we're not going to invest into the 11th pick or the 23rd pick with a guy that we didn't really spend time with, or send our entire scouting department down to LSU to watch. You know, it's like, we've done the homework. We've done the research. We need the quarterback. We want the quarterback, the organization, the entire Foxborough wants a quarterback. Boston wants a quarterback, right? It's like, come on, man. This is what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. So, barring a ridiculous offer, barring a Godfather style, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Herschel Walker, Minnesota Vikings kind of deal, you're sticking at three.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. That makes perfect. I'm right there with you. Unless, again, you know, you want to throw Justin Jefferson into the mix, then there's a conversation.
We can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, but you're all in. One of the quarterbacks, number three, Jaden Daniels. It sounds like you're more of a Jaden Daniels guy, which, you know, I'm team Jaden as well, at least at this point. I want to kind of let you expand on your thoughts about JJ McCarthy a little bit, because this feels like this is something that's been not bothering you, but you've been thinking about here throughout this pre-draft process.
It's just, you know, we weren't talking about this kid at all. And then all of a sudden, you know, there are a couple articles written here. Harbaugh came out, said that he's better than Tom Brady was in college, that he's like the best quarterback that he's ever coached. And now all of a sudden he went from being a late, you know, first round, second, third round guy to he's going to get drafted one overall. Like, what? I mean, I've seen people's draft boards and I've seen some, they're like, he's the third quarterback off the board or the second. I'm like, how does that happen? And again, I'm not taking anything away from him as a quarterback, because I do believe he is a good player and yet to be seen in the NFL, but it happened so fast, where it was just from day one of the college football season, we were saying Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, all three of those guys was like, hey, these are the guys this year.
Yeah.
And then it all of a sudden in February, March, April, now all of a sudden JJ McCarthy is going to get taken in the top three. I kind of scratched my head on that. And, you know, I know that he impressed some people with his pro day, but like, that's smoke and mirrors, man. It's, you know, any quarterback that's playing at a Division I level can go out there and throw routes on air and do it very, very well. That's just, sure. You guys are going down there. The scouts are going down there. No one's going to sit there and be like, wow, Like, that's something we've never seen before. It's like, no, dude, like, you're going down there to see what type of person this kid is. How does he interact with his teammates? How does he interact with the coaches? Is he coachable? Can he just, like, kind of learn stuff on the fly? It's like, oh, like, you're going to watch him throw a couple of hitches and slant and then, you know, a 50-yard bomb on the run? Like, dude, I could do that with nobody on me. Might not look as pretty, but it's going to get there somehow, some way. So
it is. I think so much of it is has been, like you said, there's a campaign out there.
It's great that, campaign. Yeah. He's running it. He's running it well. He really is.
And he's doing
it might,
everything.
It might pay off.
Yeah, it might pay off. And I think your point is a good one. And I think that, and I think I heard someone else say this, that it's some of it, it feels orchestrated by Harbaugh.
Yeah, 100%.
A little bit. That he is pumping his guys' tires and just he won the national championship.
I love it. I mean, he's supporting his guy and he was a quarterback. They won a lot of football games together. But I think, you know, Harbaugh's really pumping this kid up. And I'm sure Harbaugh feels very strongly about him. If he does feel that strongly, then you draft him. I don't know where the Chargers fall in the
and
draft.
That's just crazy enough to work. You know, the idea is bringing him in, playing quarterback for the Chargers. We got a couple of questions here, and some of them are draft questions. Two of them are draft questions, and one's a third question we didn't get to last week. I want to kind of circle back around on that. First of all, this is from Carlos Talk Pats on Twitter, or X, or whatever we're calling it, these guys. He said, hey, guys. Who are your day three my guys? Guys you think have the highest floor and the highest ceiling that are just being overlooked? Thanks. That's from Carlos Talks Pats. I'll give you three names off the bat. And they're all on the offensive side of the ball. And two of them are your kind of guys that we talked about last week, big wide receivers.
Yeah.
First of all, Bub Means, kid out of Pitt, coached by Tyquan Underwood, last 2 years in college, 6'2", 215. He's a day three guy. He is big. He's got a great catch radius. Again, he's got some connections because he was coached by Tyquan Underwood in college. The second one, Tez Walker from North Carolina, 6'2", 200. And I like this one for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is I think the idea of pairing a college quarterback with a college wide receiver at the next level, there's something to that. It's not it's not the be all and end all, but I think if you're looking to make Drake May comfortable, you bring in a guy like Tez Walker, a guy who he knows in college. Again, Tez Walker is not Jerry Rice, but anything to help the acclimation process. Third guy here is my personal favorite day three guy, undrafted free agent type, Dylan Lobby, running back out of New Hampshire. Plays like kind of a.
I've seen some of that.
That small school kid, you know,
Danny Woodhead.
Exactly. He's a bulked up version of Danny Woodhead. Look, if this was, I made this joke at the combine talking to him. If this was a decade ago, Bill would have already staked out his house. He would have, you know, just said, look, just sit tight. We're going to take you. We're going to, you know, you're going to sign as an undrafted free agent, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is all. Unbelievable yardage numbers. Again, there's a small school thing there, New Hampshire. He looked good at the combine. He looked good at the Senior Bowl. Those are my three guys: Tez Walker, Bub Means, and Dylan Lobby.
Obviously, I haven't done as much research into this draft other than the top three quarterbacks that.
But you've seen Lobby though.
I have seen Lobby. I would love. Here's the thing. It's like with once you get later into these draft picks, it's, you know, is he going to be available as an undrafted guy? Is he going to, you know, can we kind of maybe pull the trigger on maybe another interior lineman that might have got overlooked that probably could have gone higher? Someone that, you know, defensively, you know, again, it's like, let's kind of go back a little bit and see, all right, who got overlooked here and who have we seen and who have we talked to that's in our needs. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm all about taking skill players late, you know, guys that maybe, you know, were projected to go a little bit higher than a day three guy because people saw value in him. You know, in that player to be, hey, maybe he really is like a second, third rounder, but you know, we needed this, we needed that, and he got lost in the mix. So I'm all about that. I think I think those are the guys, the day three guys. Is it's not just kind of throw a dart and just pick. I think it's really, it's, you know, who are those second, third rounders that, you know, just got passed up because of what every other team kind of needed to focus on. And let's go back here and see if that fits with what we're trying to do. You know, I got to imagine that there's offensive line is going to be in the mix here at some point, probably a little bit early on. And if it's not, then that would be something at a position that I would like to see kind of, let's kind of bulk that up a little bit. You know, let's create some competition there, because I don't think there's been a lot of competition there throughout the years. Mm-hmm. We've had kind of, we go into the season with, you know, David Andrews, who's a great player and he's been there for forever, but let's go get a center. Let's go create some competition. Go get two guards that are just dogs in there, right? Tackles, different beast, right? Give me the tall 350-pound guy that can, you know, pull like he's like a freaking linebacker. But, you know, I want to create some competition on the offensive line to see if we can find the mix of guys that is going to work, that's going to protect our rookie quarterback, right? We went through this whole Rolodex of guys last year, people getting hurt, injury, guys were unhappy. People are, you know, I don't think everyone was, they didn't play their best football. We ran the hell out of the ball a lot of games and we did it very effectively. But when it came to pass pro, I mean, whoever was back there was seeing a lot of people in his face. So I think that's going to be something that we need to be able to focus on, that we need to address, and that we need to have some competition then there, man. And let everyone know that all those guys, like, that we don't have five guys. We don't have them. Mm-hmm. Like, we're looking for them, and we're going to create the competition to kind of create that and find five guys that want to play together and play well together. So
offensive line is so strange, because I've talked about this with a handful of guys. You don't necessarily need the five best offensive linemen. You need the five guys who work the best together.
Communicate, and guys that like know how to do it.
Yeah, they were never able to really find that combination. What I want to move ahead to the next question here real quick, because we're running out of time. But road trips, and this is something we wanted to get to last week, but we weren't able to kind of squeeze it in. The Patriots have some really intriguing road trips in 2024. If you're a fan, you have obviously the divisional games, but you also have San Francisco, Arizona, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. What of those four, which one of those four are you most looking forward to? I'm going to say Tennessee, just because I had such a great time last year before the preseason game down there. Nashville, so such a great city.
What's the street? What's that street
called? I don't know, but just the main drag out there in Nashville is unbelievable. It was only about 850 degrees in August. So, you know, air conditioning was at a premium, but yeah, I'm all in for going back to Nashville. I don't know if you had a favorite amongst that group.
None. I don't care about Mac Jones. I don't care about going back to Nashville. I want to see healthy Aaron Rodgers coming to New England, and I want to see what the hell Buffalo is going to put together on the offensive side of things to help Josh Allen. I think that the way that things have gone in the NFC East right now, I am not putting the ball in anyone's corner right now for it's like, hey, like if you were to pick right now, like, I guess maybe Miami, like, and how they did and how they played last year, but I don't know. It's a totally new year, and Tua might not be as good, and people might figure out how the hell to guard Tyreek Hill. And then Buffalo, they've essentially got rid of their entire offense. So they got rid of their two best receivers. So he's left with Dawson Knox as the tight end, and I don't even know who the running back is. So you're relying on Josh Allen to probably now have to do too much, and that's going to be a problem. And then the Jets, I mean, listen, they have some good players there, and they obviously invested into this guy who is supposed to be the savior, you know, and bring some momentum. And then, you know, that lasted for 0.4 seconds into the league. Yeah. So it's like, I want to see that. I want to see that matchup. I want to see if Aaron Rodgers is capable of turning that team around, and if he's capable of bringing a New York Jet team into New England that could actually compete. And I want to see how this team kind of unfolds. And I do believe that there's going to be a battle in the NFC East, the AFC East. Sorry, apologies. I do believe there's going to be a battle for that. I don't think any team is going to run away with that league this
it's
year.
It's going to be a great division this year.
I'm telling you, and listen,
it's a really underrated division, to your point.
Yeah, it is. I mean, do I think any of the teams are like Super Bowl contenders right now? No. But do I think an 8-8 team from the AFC East could potentially make the playoffs? 100%. Without a doubt.
Very competitive division. I want to ask you one last question before we wrap things up this week. There was a report, and we saw this last week, or we've seen the last couple weeks. Bill is going to write a book about leadership. It's not going to be a memoir, but it's going to be about leadership. There's a report in The Athletic today, Wednesday, April 24th, that he's going to be involved more with Peyton Manning in the Manning cast. We saw him go on with Pat McAfee. My question to you is, we've seen legends make the jump to television before. Mm-hmm. And not all of them have done well. No. I think if Bill commits to pulling back the curtain totally and completely, and we used before we came on the analogy of Madden, where Madden was done coaching. We knew Madden was done coaching. And so that kind of freed him up to be a really good analyst. Mm-hmm. What do you think awaits Bill in his next chapter when it comes to this? Do you think he's done coaching and this is the lane that he's going to take, or he's going to kind of maybe move back and forth a little bit?
I'm not going to say he's done coaching because I think that he still has a passion for it and probably wants to do it. But I don't know if there's a path for him to get back there. I will say that everyone is obsessed with who Bill is. And, you know, the one question, it's like, you know, you meet someone for the first time, like, oh, you play for the Patriots. All right, cool. Like, oh, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he's really good looking. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm better looking. It's fine. Like, you know, but it's like, is Bill really like that? Like, is that who he is? You know, so it's like, that's the question that they it's not about football. It's not, he has this persona that he has just, he's created for himself. And that's, I personally think that's really who he is, but everyone loves it. And I think that I think he could pull back the curtain a little bit. You know, I think he can open up and kind of liven up his personality like a tiny bit. I mean, I saw him smile on the Pat McAfee podcast. So, but like, you know, I was laughing because I was watching Julian's podcast and he was all butthurt about it because, you know, if Bill goes on McAfee's, you know, what does that say about me? I can't get him on the podcast, you know? So if he sits down with Julian, does he have the same kind of charisma, right? Does he just go straight to back to Bill, right? I don't think he does. I think he kind of livens up. I think he pulls it back a little bit. And I think people are going to really buy into that because at the end of the day, if he gets into being an analyst, this dude knows more about football than anyone on the planet.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, it would be tough for me to say like, hey, he's going to be a good analyst and he could do the thing like throughout the game. But like from a football perspective and like knowledge and just what's going on. I mean, I really do. I think he could do it. I think he'd be really great at in that some way, shape or form. Right. And I think it's, I would be excited for him to take that jump, you know, and just, dude, you had such, your career is, and I'm utterly thankful for what he did for me as a football player. And yeah, was he a hard ass? 100%. But did this guy teach me more about football in 3 years than I could have ever wanted or dreamed of learning? Like, yes. I mean, it was, my career was changed forever when he picked me up as a free agent. And you're a legend, dude. Like, you've done it. You know, this is it. Everyone, your legacy, you're still one of the best. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care about the whole Tom Brady thing. Like, you did it, bro. Like, and you got all of these things to prove it, right? Like, you were a part of it. And I would love for him to take the next step and you know, give the rest of the world some of Bill Belichick, you know, and let them really kind of let them see you, man. People are going to love it. They really are. Everyone's going to eat that up. And I think that he'd be very good at it. And it would be hard for me to imagine him not be successful at something like that. So it would be cool to kind of see him take that John Madden type of role, maybe as an analyst or like Monday Night Football, something like that, you know? So it's exciting. I'm excited for him.
Chris Hogan, thank you very much for your time, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again next week post-draft.
Can't wait.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. One more reminder. This episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. They have all the latest stats, news, and scores on your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.